Good evening, everybody. In this week's Parsha, we know that we complete the building of the Mishkan. And there's a very interesting halacha that's derived from one of the psukim in the opening psukim of this week's Parsha. And that is when it says that the Mishkan was completed. So we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayakam Moshe as HaMishkan, every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu himself erected the Mishkan. The Gemara in Menachos Daf Tzadi Tesem and Aleph makes a inference from this pasuk. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, the God of Ador, Adon HaNavi, Moshe Rabbeinu, spending his time going ahead and slaving away to build the Mishkan on his own? How come nobody offered to help him? How's it possible? Says the Gemara that from the fact that Lo Siyu Echav HaKohanim, from the fact that nobody offered to help him out, and Moshe Rabbeinu did it by himself every single day. From here, says the Gemara, we learn the din that Malim Bakodesh Velo Maridin. If the mitzvah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that it would have been a horada in Kedusha for someone else to come along and help him. It had to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So this is the makar that the Gemara brings for the din Malim Bakodesh Velo Maridin. The Mefarshim have a big problem with this because the reason why nobody helped him is because the mitzvah was given to him. Let's say, for example, you're given the mitzvah to keep Shabbos. So does it help if someone else keeps Shabbos? No, you have to keep Shabbos. So what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mitzvah to build the Mishkan. So what would it help if someone else did it? He wouldn't be mekayem the mitzvah. So perhaps that's why nobody helped him. This is a big kasha that the Acharonim are bothered with. Okay, so be it as it may, the Gemara assumes this way, that the din of Malim HaKodesh Velo Maridin is derived from the psukim by Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of the very interesting manifestations of this halacha, Malim HaKodesh Velo Maridin, is found in the Yerushalmi in Shabbos Perek HaBona. The Yerushalmi tells us as follows, Keresh Shezacha Linasim HaTzafon. The keresh, the beam, that was zocha to be on the tzafon, on the northern side of the Mishkan, la'olam tzafon. We always had to make sure that that same beam, when they erected it again in the next stop that they took in the Midbar, we had to make sure that that beam ended up again on the tzafon. Why? Because as we know, I mean, as we don't know, it's not so clear, but Rashi has a discussion about this in Zachon Daf Nun Hei, whether the northern side of the Mishkan was more chashiv than the southern side. The assumption that the Gemara makes is that the northern side was more chashuv, and therefore the keresh, the beam that had the schus to be on the northern side of the Mishkan, always had to be put back on the northern side when they made it again. So that's what the Yerushalmi tells us. Says the Netziv a very beautiful idea. The Netziv says, where is an asmachta to such a din? Where do you find such a thing? That keresh that was put on the beam that was put on the northern side has to be there all the time? Says the Netziv that it's merumas in the pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Bamidbar, Uvishemas tifkedu as kli mishmeres masa'am. And I'll read you the lashon of the Netziv. He says, Kol keresh nikra, every single beam that was put up in the Mishkan was called b'shem aleph beis gimel dalid. They used to write aleph beis gimel dalid. They used to number each keresh in the Mishkan so that they knew exactly where they went. Even though every single one was identical, and each of them could have fit anywhere, still they put specific numbers on them to know exactly where they belong. Shebashas hakama yamud kol keresh hazacha liknas mekamo. In order that each one we would know exactly where it belonged when it came time to put up the Mishkan again. And based on this, the Chassam Sofer writes that what happens when you have a shul that does construction, and the shul wants to move around, and they want to put different things in different places from the way it was originally, says the Chassam Sofer, you have to make sure to put the bima in the same place that it was originally. Why? Because keresh shezacha linasim hatzafon, the let's say the bench in the shul, or the seat in the shul that used to be next to the bima, that schus can't be taken away. That's a big schus to be next to the bima, to be next to the chazan. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, based on this, Yerushalmi, that we have to be careful when we are constructing a new shul or rededicating a shul and reconfiguring the layout of the shul, we have to make sure that the bima stays in the same place. So it's interesting that the Ramah in Chosha Mishpat has a lot of discussion about this. What happens when you reconfigure a shul and now you want to add seats or take away seats and someone's going to have to be moved over? So what is the protocol and who is correct when you have a fight that breaks out regarding that? I'll read you the Lashon of the Ramah in Siman Kufay and Aleph. It's very interesting. The Ramah for its rights a case. We think these problems only arise now, but the Ramah tells us that people used to have such time as then. Says the Ramah, Ruvein and Shimon, sheyesh lahan mekomos beis haknesa zeh etzel zeh. So Ruvein and Shimon are sitting next to each other in shul for many years already. Ruvein rotzeh lasos mechitza beinehem. Ruvein decides, you know what? I don't like the guy who I sit next to. I'm not going to change my seat. I have a chashuv seat on the mizrach, so I'm not going to change my seat, but I'm going to put up a mechitza in between myself and the guy who sits next to me. It's a case in the Ramah. So the Ramah says, it's not that I'm going to put the mechitza in his part of the row. I'm going to make my seat smaller. I'm not going to infringe on him at all. Says the Rama, Shimon wrote to La'akev. Shimon says, what do you mean? We can't have this. Ba'omer Shim Yasa Mechitza Hamakam Yadachak. If there's going to be a wall, yes, even though the wall is going to be in your part of the bench, but still, it's going to get in my way. I can't get in and out of the bathroom. It's not going to be good. That's what he says. Shimon doesn't want it. So the Rama says, Hadin im Ruvain. The din is with Ruvain, that if he wants to put up a Mechitza, he's allowed to do that. Listen to the next case. Vechein. Rabim Hayoshim Al Safsal Echad Bebeis HaKnesses. You have a whole group of people sitting on a pew in a shul. The Ayoshe Berosh, and the person who's sitting at the end of the row, wrote to Lahosef Od Makam Echad Eitz HaMakomo. His daughter gets married, now he has a son-in-law who's going to start coming to shul. So he wants to put another seat at the end of the bench. And the guys in the middle of the bench say, hey, now we're going to have to go by somebody else in order to get out of the row. We're not interested. This is not what we paid membership for. So the big fight erupts, and this is what the Rama discusses here. And you look there in the Pischei Tshuva, both there in Kuf Ayin Aleph, and the Pischei Tshuva in Kuf Samach Beis, when he talks about Shutvim. So he has a whole discussion about who's right and who's wrong. I just want to share with you a very fascinating story. I saw this in the name of the Levushei Srud. My father told me today, when I was telling it over to him, he told me that he once saw the same exact story in the Or Sameach on the Rambam. So it's an authentic story, just depends who it happened with. Could be it happened with both. But apparently there was a big fight that broke out in a certain shul, and the way I saw the story is they came to the Levushei Srud, and they showed up for a din Torah. The Levushei Srud had a bezin. They showed up that they had a problem. What happened? They had a shul, and they used to have, the chazan had a big podium with a stage, because the shul didn't have so many members. So they made a big podium for the chazan with a big stage underneath. So the receipts that went until the chazan shtender. Now the shul gained a lot more members, so they had to find a way to find more seats, more room to put people. So they decided they're going to get rid of the stage for the chazan, and they're going to make him a small shtender like everybody else, and they'll add an extra seat on each side of the chazan. So that's what they decided. So that's what they did. So the guy who had the seat right next to the chazan for the last 20 years comes to the bezin and he says, what right do they have to add a new guy into the bench here, into the row? They should put me next to the chazan, the same way I was always next to the chazan. How do they have a right? There's a real case. How do they have a right that they're going to sell for a lot of money, they're going to sell the seat next to the chazan if all these years I had the chazaka to be next to the chazan? So like my father said to me today, what do you do when you have a halachic issue that's completely non-halachic? So you got to find some obscure makoros to try to figure out the issue. So that's what they did. The Levushei Srud said to them that he thinks the Gabbaim are correct and they have the right to sell the seats next to the chazan that were just created. Why? The guy is a taina. I sat next to the chazan for 25 years. I paid membership all these years. How do you kick me out? So he said like this, a very interesting riot. He says the Yerushalmi tells us that when the name of Sarai was changed to Sarah, so we're told that Sarah, that the Yud came, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a Taina. What was the Taina? I used to be a part of the name of Sarai, and now you took my letter out and you put in a Hey. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, I'll be Mephiah, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put your name onto Yehoshua, and you should understand that this is a big upgrade, because you used to be, the Yud used to be at the end of the word Sarai, and now you're getting an upgrade, you're going to be at the beginning of the word Hoshea. Now he's going to be called Yehoshua, so you're getting an upgrade. So that's what the Gemara says. So, Frek the Levushei Srud, what do you mean? Now the hey from Hoshea has a taina. You push me over. I used to be the first letter of the word. Now you put a yud in front of me. So why doesn't the hey come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, hey, we got to work something out here. That wasn't fair. You put a letter in front of me. Elamai, the pshat is, since we didn't move the hey anywhere, it's not like we extracted him. We just put someone else in front of him. So as long as we didn't touch you, you can't have a taina. So that's what the Or Sameach and the Levushei Srud argue, that as long as they don't move your seat, they just happen to put someone else in between you and the chazan, but they didn't move you, they didn't make you go anywhere, they allowed you to stay where you were all the years. So if that's the case, then you have no taina. That is the halacha l'maisa that they paskin. A very fascinating idea, and you have to look through a lot of Pischei Tshuvas and Chesha Mishpat to figure out each and every individual case. But talking real halacha l'maisa, the Maram Shik has a tshuva. He's one of the great Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. He talks about what happens when you check a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah was so ruined that they had to take off the Atzei Chaim. Right? The Sofer needed it to be off of the Atzei Chaim. So now when he comes back to put them on, he can't remember, was this the eights from the right side or the left side? So the Sofer came with a Shaila to the Maram Shik, and he wanted to know, what do I do? We know the Yerushalmi says in Shabbos, Keresh Shezach Alinasim Etzafon. If you had to put the beam in a certain position in the Mishkan, you always had to put it in the same place. So what am I supposed to do? I just took off the two sides of the Sefer Torah. Now I have to put it back together. I can't remember which one was which. So the Maharsha says, no. That's only by the Mishkan because there was a more of the Chashivas to one side of the Mishkan than the other side. So to speak, this beam would feel bad if it was switched from one side to the other because now it's losing its Chashivas. It's like throwing a guy off the Mizrach. But when you're talking about a case where it's a Sefer Torah, so the right side and the left side are the same chashivas. So therefore the Maram Shik Paskin Halacha L'maisa, then in such a case, it does make a difference if this was the Atzei Chaim from the right side or the left side, because both sides are equally as Kaddish. Similarly, Rav Meir Shapira has in his tshuvas, in Ar HaMeir, he has a very interesting question that came to him. There was a shul where now they had many more members, and they had to find a place to store some of the furniture that was in the shul. They used to have a lot of bookcases, now they had to take some of them out, or whatever it was. They had to find a place to store it for the meantime, till they figure out how to do everything. So they wanted to put it, let's say, in a nursing home. Nursing home has plenty of extra rooms, Baruch Hashem. So they were going to put it in a nursing home and just take one of the extra rooms and use that as a storage room. So they asked the Rav Meir Shapira, are they allowed to do that? So he had two reasons why he thought it was not proper. Number one, he said, the Gemara says in Psachim, that the Gog of the Kodesh, the Gog of the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash, had a status, had a level of Kedusha. Why do they have to be Mekadosh, the Gog of the Heichal? What are you doing on top of the roof? So the Tosis over there explains, he reads it into the Gemara, but Tosis there explains in Psachim Daf Pei Vav that the reason why they had to do that was because that served as the storage room for Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash that weren't used at that present moment. So he says, if a Kali is used to being placed in a Makom Kadosh, he can't now just put in a nursing home to be stored there. No. You see from the Gemara in Psachim Daf Pei Vav that you have to be careful, even when you're just storing it, that it's stored in a Makom Kadosh as well. So that's number one argument that Rav Meir Shapira argues. But number two, what he says is that the Yerushalmi tells us, Keresh Shazachali Nasim Etzafon, if you have a Keresh, if you have a beam that was put in a particular place in the Mishkan, you don't have a right just to move it to another side. So too over here, he says, if you have furniture that was used to being placed in a shul, you don't have a right to now put it somewhere else and just rot away there. You have to figure out, if the shul doesn't need it anymore, it's a different story. But if the shul is going to use it, and now you're just going to throw it around somewhere else for the meantime, that's something that we're not so quick to do. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ber Heitev, in Hilchos Sukkah, so he quotes the Ma'aril there. The Ber Heitev quotes a very interesting Ma'aril, that he had the practice every year after Sukkot to write on the different panels of his Sukkah numbers. The same way they used to write numbers on the Krushim for the Mishkan, so too the Ma'aril used to write numbers on the panels for the Sukkah to make sure each panel went in the right place. The Aruch Laner in his Sefer Bikur Yaakov, as quoted in the Bir Halacha there, says, why is it that we're not machmir for this? How come every year I take my Sukkah out, I just set it up however I want? I don't look for the numbers in which place it was placed. So the Bikur Yaakov argues that the reason why we're not careful about this by Sukkah is because there's no more Kedusha on this side of the Sukkah than on that side of the Sukkah. They're both equally as Kaddish. They're part of the whole overall structure of the Sukkah. And therefore, he argues that it wouldn't make a difference if I put it on the right side or the left side. It's not like by the Mishkan where one side was more chashuv than the other, and that's why I had to put a special sign on it. That's why he argues that in such a case, we don't have to be concerned. Similar to the Maram Shik, when you have two sides of a Atzei Chaim of a Sefer Torah, they're both as chashuv as each other, you don't have to make note of it. However, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tzitzis and Simen Ches writes a very strange minig, which is from the Shalah, and that is that the Shalah used to put an Atara on his talis of meshi, he says. It used to be made of silk. Interesting, they didn't have silver Ataras then. So he says that the Shalah had the minig to put a silk Atara on his talis in order that he would be sure that the front was always on the, that the top was always on the top and the bottom was always on the bottom. Then the Magen Avraham quotes that the Arizal was not careful about this minhag. The Arizal felt there was no reason to be machmer to have an Atara. Why not? So the simple understanding that they give is as follows. The Shari Tshuva writes in Simon Membez in Arachayim, B'shem the Elia Rabbah. It's interesting that he quotes a raya from Divrei Agada. He says, by Yaakov Avinu, we all know Rashi quotes the Medrash, that by Yaakov Avinu all the stones were fighting with each other, Alayo Niach Tzadik Es Rosho, everyone wanted to be a part of it. What ended up happening? They all morphed into one, they all became one big stone. Frekta Elia Rabbah, what do you mean? They still should be fighting. I want to be on the top of the stone, I want to be on the bottom of the stone, I want Yaakov Avinu's head to touch me, I don't want to be on the outside, right? They should still be fighting. What does it help to put them all together? They're still not all going to be under Yaakov's head. Answer is, says the Elia Rabbah, is that once everything becomes one chepza, once everything becomes one, so then you know that you're a part of it. It doesn't make a difference if you're not actually touching the tzaddik's head. But bottom line, as long as you're a part of this one chepetz, you're involved in the mitzvah. So too over here, that's what they argue. As long as it's one talis, it doesn't make a difference if the talis is on the top or on the bottom. It shouldn't make a difference. When it comes to the krushim in the Mishkan, so each one is a separate entity, and that's why you have to be careful. When it comes to this particular case of the talis, that's why they argue that there's no reason to have an atara on the talis. However, it seems, the Magen Avraham writes that what happens if nifsika ritzua, what happens if I have, let's say my ritzua rips on the top, so I say, you know what, I may as well just flip the Ritzua around, take it out, flip it around, and then the rib part will be on the bottom. I don't need so long of a Ritzua at the end. So that's what the Magen Avraham talks about, and he says, Asur lahafuch, you're not allowed to flip the Ritzua back and forth in such a case. Seemingly, he seems to disagree with this Raya that the Elya Rabbah brings, because he says it's not a conclusive proof, because it's from a Divrei Agada, it's from a Medrash that talks about a story by Yaakov Avinu. How can we bring a halachic proof from that? So when it comes to the Atara on the Talus, the Levush, as well as the Elya Rabbah write, Dafka Kpeda, that you should not put an Atara. Why? Because if, let's say, a person just wears earmuffs, does he put tzitzis on earmuffs? No. Let's say he just wears a hat on his head. Does he put tzitzis on a hat? No. If a beged is only made for the rosh, that doesn't require tzitzis. It's only if the beged is made for his body. So over here, they argue that perhaps if a person is going to put an atara on the head part of the talis, people are going to think that that's the ikar of the talis, but it's not. The ikar of the talis is the part that's on his body. So therefore, they said, bedavka not to. In fact, the Malbim writes in his Artzas HaChaim, his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, he says that if a person wants to put an atara, then he should do like the Rebbes do and put a silver part in the middle as well. Makes a lot of sense, because you have to show that the ikar of the talus is not the head, the ikar of the talus is the part that's on your body. And just to close, the Maram Shik adds another argument why one should not have an atara, and that is, obviously everyone should follow the Roman Hagim, our very old founded Menhagim in both directions, but the Maram Shik writes in his Tshuva another argument. He says, the same way we say by the two sides of the Sefer Torah, that there's no more chashivas to this side than to that side, and therefore there's no kpeda of malam mekodesh velo maridin if you put the atzei chayim on the wrong side. So to over here, what's the more kedusha on the top of the talus and on the bottom, on this side than on that side? What's the difference if you wear the talus the wrong way? They're all the same. There's no more kedusha on your head than there is on the rest of your body. So therefore the Maram Shik argues that al pi halacha, the whole assumption doesn't apply here at all. We don't assume that we don't assume that there's any more kedusha to one side of the talus than the other, and therefore we would not have a kpeda here to make an atara at all. Obviously, everyone should follow their own menhagim, but this is really a halacha that's based directly out of the psukim in this week's parsha. As the Yerushalmi tells us, keresh zachali nasam atzafon was always put in the tzafon, and that's something that we learn from the psukim by the erection of the Mishkan. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.